Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, December 6th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I got my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to join me today, talk about some kind of breaking news from yesterday. Anyways, Frankie Edgar is going to step in and replace Brian Ortega against the Korean Zombie, so we'll talk about that. Dana White had some comments yesterday on a DC radio station about Conor McGregor and Tyson Fury. We'll talk about that. And there's a couple of fight announcements, but let's start with the Frankie thing, Cole. So yesterday, or 2 days ago, Brian Ortega announced that he had torn his ACL, partially torn it. He'll be out for a few months. He wanted to fight through it, apparently. Doctors told him not to do it. He could be out for a year if he had did that and hurt it again. So he made the right call, obviously. I love Brian Ortega and really enjoy watching him fight, but he definitely made the right call pulling out of this fight with that kind of an injury. And on short notice steps Frankie Edgar. So there's a lot to unpack with this one. I guess my first thought is, do you think Frankie Edgar was the right guy to fill in for Ortega against the Korean Zombie?
I'm a bit torn on it because obviously they're supposed to fight last November on that the 25th anniversary show, which would have been a great fight. But given Edgar's moved down to bantamweight, fighting Sandhagen in a month, I think you could have won a lot of different ways. Josh Emmett wanted that fight. There was could have done like Shane Burgos, Calvin Kattar, CFC Beat wanted it and just do a 3-round main event. But I think there was other featherweights you could have done, but it is a great fight regardless.
It's a good fight. I personally am really not happy with the UFC's decision here. I'll tell you why. Okay, so first off, there was other guys that could have fought him. Guys at featherweight that are contending right now. Calvin Kattar's out there saying he wanted the fight. He was interested in taking this fight. No, he did lose to Zabit, but still, that would have been a fight that made more sense, in my opinion. Zabit would have made perfect sense. I don't know what his deal is right now as far as weight goes and stuff like that, but Zabit versus Korean Zombie, as far as the rankings go, Cole, that would have made the most sense. And there's some other guys out there as well at featherweight. My biggest problem with this is you're pulling a guy that had a fight lined up to fill another hole, and I really hate when they do this because it never works out well. And you're screwing over Corey Sandhagen. He was really looking forward to that fight. I think I was looking forward to that fight. A lot of us were. It was an intriguing matchup seeing Frankie drop down to 135. Sandhagen's a beast, and that would have been a great matchup for Frankie and for Corey. For Frankie, it would have been like, if he goes and takes out Sandhagen, he jumps right into that 135-pound title talk. And for Sandhagen, takes out a legend like Frankie, he's right there as far as the title goes too. So I was looking forward to that fight, Cole. I'm not going to lie. And you know, I think the plan right. I think Frankie's still booked for that fight, if I'm not mistaken, but there's just no way that's going to happen. I don't like when they've been doing this lately. The Veronica Macedo thing, she had two fights booked recently, Cole. What happened there? She didn't fight neither of them. So I hope, hopefully, this fight with Korean Zombie happens. We at least get one Frankie fight, but I'm not a fan of this, man. I don't like when they pull fighters from one fight to fill another fight, especially when there's fighters out there calling for the fight. Again, Zabit was out there. What about Yair in a rematch? I would watch that. Why not? You have Jeremy Stephens, Calvin Kattar, or Josh Emmett said he'd take the fight too. I know he has a fight lineup, but still, that's a less important fight against Oral Rowland. So there's other guys out there.
Even with Emmett,
yeah,
you can take that fight off and put Arnold Allen on UFC London.
Dude, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So this is, to me, was a bad call. I've been reading fan reaction. A lot of fans are excited for this fight. Listen, it's a good fight. Edgar versus Zombie. It's a good fight, Cole. You're right. But I just don't like when they rob Peter to pay Paul. That's what they're doing here. It's not something I personally am a fan of. UFC matchmakers are really good. They know what they're doing. They put together some amazing fights, no doubt about it, Cole. But in this particular instance, man, I wasn't too happy. And I think a lot of the media is not too happy with this one either. And Corey Sandhagen's not happy. You know, it doesn't matter what he thinks, really. He's, you know, he's a great fighter, but not really a household name, doesn't move the needle or anything like that. But again, you know, this guy was really looking forward to the opportunity, doesn't get it now. So as far as Corey goes, you know, I guess he's still preparing for Frankie, but come on, Cole, there's no way Frankie's going to fight Zombie on the 21st of December, turn around and fight Corey Sandhagen on January 25th. I just don't see that happening, man. You don't think it's going to happen, right?
I don't. I talked to someone in Edgar's camp and they said they are extremely confident he'll be able to fight Sandhagen, but Moicano was knocked out in 58 seconds. Yeah, Yair Rodriguez is taken to the hospital. Those are his last two opponents. Do you think Edgar will be able? The only way that fight happens is if Edgar can get Korean Zombie out in the first minute and not take a single punch.
And not only that, but like he does have this fight. He's got to recover after it. He's got to cut the weight to make 135, a weight class he's never made before. Like to me, it's just dumb. So we'll see what happens, I guess. But I think they should just say, you know what, we have to find a new opponent for this guy. And there are other opponents for Corey out there. This weekend, obviously, we have two huge fights here at Bantamweight, Colt. Next week, I should say, we got Aldo, Moraes, and Jan and Faber. So maybe the winner of one of those fights could take on Corey Sandhagen, and then the other winner could get the fight with Cejudo. We'll see. There's a lot of moving parts, obviously, but I don't know. I'm not a fan of this. Again, it's a good fight. Don't get me wrong. It is an interesting matchup, Edgar and Zombie, but I just don't like the fact they ripped apart another fight that, like, I think a lot of us were looking forward to, when the guy's not even in the same weight class anymore. That's the one thing that just really bothers me about this. So it is what it is, but you know, at least we do have a main event. I guess that's the one solace about it. All right, let's talk about Dana White's comments yesterday. He was talking to a DC radio station, call a couple things. First thing he said was, we'll talk about Conor McGregor here. He says he wants to fight Masvidal next, which makes sense. Ariel Helwani had a report recently, and this jives exactly with it. He said that Conor's plan is to fight Cerrone in January, and then fight either Masvidal or Diaz in the summer, and then Habib at the end of the year. Okay, so when I saw this, I wasn't surprised. It makes a lot of sense. Okay, so Masvidal obviously is at 170. Conor's at 170. The fight with Conor and Cerrone's at 170. A lot of us were like kind of scratching our heads as to why. Now we understand why, Cole. He's chasing that fight with Masvidal. And here's the thing. If he wins against Cerrone, he'll get Masvidal, I think. If he loses, he can fight Nate Diaz. So it's a win-win for Conor. It really is, Cole. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I thought he'd want to go down to 55, but Dana White even said, or it might have been Joe Rogan, he said basically Conor killed himself being 45, so he just doesn't care to cut weight anymore. He doesn't want to cut weight anymore. What do you think he walks around at? I don't think he would probably walk around like 175 max.
Conor?
Yeah.
Hard to say. Maybe he's even bigger than that right now because he hasn't fought in a while, right?
But obviously, against Masvidal, Masvidal would be way bigger. But do you know what the crazy thing is? This time last year, imagine it would be Conor McGregor trying to get a Jorge Masvidal fight.
Yeah,
like, I know, right? That's absolutely crazy how much Masvidal's become like this massive star in a year.
He's turned to a superstar this year. He's arguably maybe the biggest star in the sport right now. It's possible. The last fight, I don't know if the numbers came out or anything like that, but I'm sure it did really well. UFC 244. It's so hard to compare the new pay-per-view model with the ESPN Plus thing, Cole, to the old stuff where it was just on your television and satellite. So it's hard to compare that stuff, but I'm sure that pay-per-view did really well. And then obviously that wins over Ben Askren and Darren Till. He's had an amazing year. He is a huge star right now. But I just think for Conor, he's chasing the big fights. I think Masvidal wants the big fights. Let's be honest here, Cole. Masvidal should be getting a title shot against the winner of Usman and Covington. He should fight the winner of that fight, but for him, you know, I think it is more about the money fights, and I can't blame the guy. These guys are prize fighters at the end of the day. They want to make money. They want to get their prize. So to me, that's a fight that makes sense. And again, Ariel reported this recently, and this is exactly what he said. So not surprised when Dana said that Conor's chasing Jorge Masvidal. Dana also talked about Tyson Fury, Cole, and it looks like the interest is genuine. So when the videos with Darren Till came out a couple weeks ago and he's training, hitting pads, to me, it was kind of a publicity stunt, you know, with the fight coming up with Wilder. He wanted to keep his name in the media. And also, he had that WWE match. So, to me, it was kind of like a joke almost. But now it looks like it's actually kind of serious. Dana White says they're actually talking, and he says that he thinks he has a good chance to sign Tyson Fury. My question to you is, do you think it's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't get why Fury wants to go to MMA. He makes tens of millions of dollars in boxing. He would be lucky to make, what, $2 million in the UFC?
I'm sure they pay him a little bit more than most guys. They probably give him a premium, Cole, but you're right, man. This close purse would be pretty low, I think. Like, it always is low in MMA, right, compared to boxing.
Like, the Wilder rematch, the purses haven't been revealed, but I assume they're probably each going to get $20-25 million.
Maybe more. If anything, more.
And, like, I don't get it. Why would you could take one boxing fight against a guy like Aldo Wallin, who he beat, like someone like that where no one really knows, make tens of millions of dollars. He would have to fight probably about 3 MMA fights to equal that one payday, and you're not taking as much damage either in boxing as those guys, because he's an elite level boxer and he can outbox so many fighters. Or in MMA, there's a good chance he just gets taken down to the ground and beat up on the ground.
Yeah. Oh man, this is just kind of it's kind of crazy, right? Like, as far as his striking goes, I mean, his boxing is obviously off the charts. If he came to the UFC, he would be the best boxer in the UFC. no doubt about it, Cole, but it's MMA. It's not boxing. So can he stop a takedown? I don't know. We've never seen him stop a takedown. The guy's an incredible athlete, though, so he probably can learn it pretty quick. And I will say this, heavyweight division relies more on like a one-punch power kind of thing rather than like pure wrestling and just knowing all the skills of MMA. So he would probably have be able to have a little more success because he is in heavyweight. But Cole, it's like, just say he fights Stipe, right? Why would Stipe box with him? Stipe's going to go for a takedown right away. Can he stop a Stipe Miocic shot? I don't know. If he fought Curtis Blaydes, can he stop his shot? I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. At the same time, though, Cole, the guy is he's a showman, and if he wants to put on a show for the fans and he wants to do this, I guess I guess I'd watch it. I mean, why not, right? I'd watch it. At the same time, though, we saw James Toney fight in MMA. Didn't go too well. We've seen a couple other boxers come to MMA. Very few guys make their professional debuts in the UFC. I think CM Punk's one of the only guys. You had a couple other guys like Matt Riddle and Matt Mitrione that did, but they also had fought on the Ultimate Fighter. So they had some, at least, exhibition fights in MMA. The only guy I can think of right now is like CM Punk is the only guy that I can think of that had his MMA debut in the UFC. Although I'm sure there's guys at the beginning of the, I'm talking about modern MMA, beginning of the sport. There was tons of guys, obviously, that did. But yeah, it's like, it's kind of crazy. Like even James Toney had an amateur fight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I know Ray Mercer had an amateur, actually James Toney didn't. So he's another guy. Ray Mercer did though. He had fought an amateur fight before he fought a professional fight. Didn't go too well for him. So I don't know, Cole. It's a publicity stunt, in my opinion. It's a money grab, but I don't know. Like, Dana White's always about these big fights, and maybe Fury does come to MMA. I don't know. I just don't know how he's going to do, Cole. I think he's better off staying in boxing and fighting a guy like Miocic in a boxing match. That to me, doesn't that make more sense to you?
Yeah, and you're still getting the boxing payday.
Exactly, right? And then Dana White could put his name on it, Zuffa Boxing or whatever, and they could co-promote with whoever Fury's promoter is. So that to me makes more sense, but yeah, I mean, there is something to this, though. It's not like it's complete BS at this point. It looks like there actually is something. You have Dana White singing now, so we'll see what happens there. Nia Blanchard, the story just keeps getting worse and worse, Cole. The suspect in the murder of Blanchard says that he's actually going to go for the self-defense defense here and saying that she went to grab the gun and that's why he had to shoot her. So me and you aren't lawyers, obviously, but I don't know how that's going to hold up. They obviously are building a case against this guy. I don't know. It's tough to say, Cole. I mean, maybe he gets life. Maybe he gets a death penalty. It's really hard to say. They are chasing the death penalty, though, because he did commit capital murder, which is murdering someone during the act of another crime, if I'm not mistaken. So he was kidnapping Blanchard. He kidnapped her, and then he killed her. So this guy, he goes to jail for life, Cole, or he's going to get death penalty. Because the thing is, he admitted he shot her. He did admit he killed her. But it's just, can the defense prove that it was self-defense, or can the prosecutors prove that this guy's lying? Any thoughts about that? Again, we're not lawyers, but any thoughts on this?
I don't get how it's self-defense if you kidnapped her. She's just trying to get away. So, yeah. I don't think – obviously, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. I don't think, personally, it would hold up in court, that thing, because how is it self-defense if you started the fight kind of thing? But –
I don't know, Cole. Again, we're not lawyers, right? But we're just, we're journalists, and we can definitely give our opinion about this. Let's talk about some fight announcements here. A couple of them, not too many today, but a couple. Both at UFC Auckland. So that card keeps getting better and better. Actually, I don't know if I had you on the other day. Did we talk about Felder and Hooker?
Yeah.
Okay, I did. Okay, so that card's looking pretty good. I'm really excited for that fight. You saw the stare down. Those guys want each other. It's going to be a good fight. And they had a couple other nice fights here. You got Jamie Crude against Michael Oleksiak and Karolina Kowalkiewicz against Yan Jinzon. Let's talk about Crude and Oleksiak. Kind of surprising matchup a little bit. Two prospects coming off losses. Serkinov beats Crude and Oleksiak lost to OSP. So they just lost to two guys who are considered maybe gatekeepers at 205. Both guys need to bounce back. Any thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I am surprised it happened. I thought the UFC would try to build both them up and get a win, especially how shallow light heavyweight is. You need these prospects to come up. I thought they were both high on them. They both have knockout power. They both are exciting fighters, finish fights early. So I thought they would have looked to get winnable fights for both of them. I'm surprised they matched it up. It's going to be a great fight, though. I assume it's probably mostly going to be standing, given both their weaknesses at this point. It looks like is the ground game and submission losses. So it's an interesting fight. I'd favor Crute slightly just because it is in Auckland, but I wouldn't be surprised if Oleksiak won that fight at all.
Yeah, Alexiak's pretty good. And actually, Cole, he was looking really good before the OSP fight. Don't know what happened there. I mean, OSP is, he's kind of one of those fighters that can be underrated at times. So I guess I'm not shocked he won that fight, but getting the Von Flue choke, I guess, was surprising. Again, I think it's his fourth one. But yeah, I kind of like Crute in this fight. I've been more impressed with him. I know he lost to Sorkinov, but even that fight, I mean, he actually had a chance to win that and ended up losing. But still, the guy was pretty impressive before that. The other fight is Carolina versus Yan. Any thoughts on that women's fight here?
I think this is a fight to try to build up Yan. I think the UFC is high on her. I think they're obviously investing heavily in that Asian market, and I think she could be the girl next time they're in China, right on the main card, right high up there. Caroline is a no name. She fought Joanna. She's fought for the belts, I think. And Caroline, obviously, as of late, hasn't looked as good. The Michelle Watterson loss wasn't that impressive on her end. So I think this is a fight they're trying to make Yan get a win and look good and start to build her up more in the division.
Yeah, you know, I really like Carolina. She is marketable for sure. Very, very, you know, good-looking woman for sure. And a pretty good fighter, Cole, but she's on a losing streak. So to me, they're at this point kind of using her as a gatekeeper against Yan, who is on a four-fight win streak in the UFC. She's unbeaten in the UFC. She's actually 11-1 and won no contest in her entire career. Lost 10 years ago in 2010, 9 years ago. She's going to win this fight, Cole. Let's be honest here, man. It's a setup fight. And I was talking to you about this private, and you were like, why is it in New Zealand? Well, I mean, Yan is from China, right? So that's pretty close, I think. I don't know if they're going to do any China cards earlier next year. So maybe that's why they're putting her on this card. But yeah, I do favor Yan quite heavily. And I talked about this fight yesterday, but man, this is a banger, Cole. Brad Riddle against Mustafayev, man. What a great fight, eh?
Yeah, that's going to be a good fight, obviously. The one thing I'm questioning is Riddell's striking defense.
Yeah.
Obviously, it did not look good against Jamie Mullarkey, and Mustafayev is a lot better than Mullarkey, so it's going to be interesting to see. Maybe that was part of Octagon Jitters. Maybe he just wanted to put on a show and just throw down in front of the home fans, and maybe he'll be more technical in his second fight, but this is a good fight. This is to really see who is the better prospect at lightweight, because lightweight's stacked, and they need to... I like these prospect versus prospect matchups at 155 because you have to clear out the division. You have to see like who's going to get those ranked guys and who needs to keep on working their way up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. By the way, the odds were released like maybe an hour ago for Edgar Zombie, and Korean Zombie opens at minus 175, Edgar plus 150. Now, we still have 2 weeks to think about this fight, Cole, but initial reactions to these odds?
I thought Zombie would have been a bit higher. I thought like minus 200 just because it's short notice. We've seen what Zombie did. 58-second knockout of Renato Moicano. Obviously, the loss to Yair, but he won about 24 minutes of that fight pretty much until he got knocked out in the last second. Knockout over Dennis Bermudez. He's looked good as of late. So I'm surprised not higher, but obviously Edgar has the name, which I think made it closer odds than what it should be.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Dana White says that he is talking to Floyd Mayweather. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think Floyd, if anything happens, I think he's probably going to headline the first Super Boxing show as an exhibition match against someone. So even if he loses, it doesn't go on his professional record.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. I think it's going to happen in Super Boxing. What else? Uriah Hall seems to have some beef with Darren Till here. You think that's a fight they're going to set up? I think at this point, Till's just too big of a name for Hall, but I guess I can't blame Hall for at least, you know, mentioning his name.
Yeah, I think Till's a bit too high up for Hall. I think Hall needs someone in that like 8 to 11 range because I think he's like 12 or 13, something like that.
Yeah,
so I think he deserves a higher ranked opponent than him. Someone coming off a loss in that like probably 7 to like just above him range. But I think Till's just a bit too high for him. But it definitely could be a fight that happens in the future.
Derek Brunson said the other day he has a fight book. Do you think it's Hall? I think it's Shabazzian. That'd be my guess. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd guess Shabazzian too. I think that's obviously Brunson's looked good as of late. I think it's going to see who's going to make that next leap into the top five in middleweight.
Yep. What else here? Yarzino Rosenstruck, man. Like this guy, I really like him, Cole. And he keeps calling out Francis Ngannou. He still has to beat Overeem tomorrow, and that's not an easy fight for him. But if he wins, you think they're going to set up the Ngannou fight?
I think they might. I think Ngannou, I think he's starting to get mad at Volkov because Volkov keeps delaying it. And I think Ngannou just wants a fight. Say Rosenstruck gets out over him like he did Arlovski in the first minute. He takes no damage. He can make a quick turnaround in like February, March and fight Ngannou.
Yeah, and not only that, Cole, but now we've seen the report that, I don't know if you did this story or not, but the France legalization thing is being pushed back now. So they might have been saving Ngannou for that first France card, but at this point, it's like they just got to get this guy a fight. He's been waiting too long, and it's not fair that guys like Volkov and Hardy are fighting so many times between when he's not. Or Volkov's only fought once, I guess, but Hardy's fought, I think, like three times since Ngannou's last fight, Cole. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. The guy needs a fight. Yarzino wants him. Now, having said that, Overeem also said that, hey, if I beat Rozenstruik tomorrow, I'm open to a rematch. I don't know if that's going to go too well for the Ream.
No, if Overeem wins, I think I'd rather see Ngannou Volkov, just because we already seen that one, and that was a devastating knockout.
Yeah, one of the most, like, timeless knockouts, like that picture of Overeem's.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the best pictures ever.
Yeah, it really is a great photo for MMA, for sure. What else here? Calvin Gastelum wants Robert Whittaker. I don't know. I know you've been talking to Jerry Cannon here lately. Do you want to share anything about that? I know you can't say too much, but anything you want to share? Well, go ahead.
Well, Ariel said it too, so I guess I can say it now. He signed the contract. He's waiting on Whittaker. I talked to Whittaker's agent because when I was setting up a Volkanovski interview, I just said, hey, what about Whittaker? Like, what's Whittaker doing? They said Cannonier has been offered. They'd rather till in London. He wants to fight in Europe. He said he's never fought. That's kind of like a bucket list item for him. He said he's never gone to Europe, so it's kind of like, let's kill two birds with one stone. Let's go spend time after the fight in Europe, like travel around Europe and also get a fight against Till, which he really wants. So balls of Whittaker's court, what he does. I think either fight is a good fight, but I personally would rather see Whittaker Till.
Me too. And it sucks for Jared because he obviously deserves a high ranked opponent, Cole, but I just think that fight makes it just sells itself. Both guys want it so bad. They've been calling each other out. I think the UFC is kind of overthinking things by, introducing Cannonier to this mix. Now, honestly, if anything, Cole, just give Cannonier the title shot. He really, like, if you think about it, he deserves it more than Romero right now. I do think Romero is a more dangerous fight, for Adesanya a more interesting fight. But as far as merit goes, Romero's on a two-fight losing streak. Not only that, Cole, but he's missed weight for a couple of his fights, too. So, like, Cannonier's been doing everything in his power to keep moving up the ranks. I know he's ranked one below Romero right now, but at the same time, Cole, at least he's coming off a win. And then if that happens, then you can just do, like, Jack Hermanson versus Romero, just to keep busy. And both those guys coming off losses, too, so that makes a little bit more sense. But then, of course, you have Calvin Gastelum in the mix, too. So we'll see what happens there, Cole. But, yeah, I mean, I really hope they announce this card. I believe it's UFC 248. They haven't announced the location. We thought it was going to be Las Vegas. I think, actually, you reported that, Cole, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, when it was Costa Adesanya, because that was when Conor wasn't going to fight in January, so they didn't have the Vegas thing. And then everything changes because they're not going to go to Vegas December, January, March. So when Conor got done, they kind of changed all the, because that's still to be determined, the location.
I wonder if they just do it in Australia, Like, they obviously go there at least once a year. Why not just do Adesanya versus whoever in Australia at that point? It makes kind of sense. I know a lot of those guys are fighting a couple weeks earlier in New Zealand. By the way, the New Zealand card is the same day as the Wilder and Fury rematch, February 22nd, although that card will take place in the morning, so fans will be able to watch both cards. By the way, the weigh-ins happened today for the boxing rematch between Ruiz and Joshua. Ruiz came in, I think, at 283. He did have his, like, clothes on, so obviously that's going to add some weight. But Joshua, I think, was, like, 230-something, promised. Do you know the weights off your hand? And any thoughts on those pictures that were being floated around?
Well, yeah, Ruiz was 15 pounds heavier than what he was on June 1st. I don't know how smart that is. There was a lot of videos after the fight of him partying pretty hard.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of videos in training camp of him partying pretty hard. So I don't know if the focus is there. Like, Joshua, he said in interviews, he's like, Ruiz has been on my mind for like months now. He's like, I've only focused on Ruiz. I've only been in training. I've just literally studied that fight and everything. And I think Ruiz, I don't obviously want to say like anything, but I think he's kind of just happy to be there now, like that he got the win. Like, I think if he loses, it's not a big deal. Where if Joshua loses, like, that could be like career ending, because then it's kind of Ruiz, Wilder, Fury's the top three, and he's like set back way down there in the heavyweight ranks.
Yeah, it's cool that they do have these big heavyweight fights going on. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not like a huge boxing scribe or anything like that. Like, I don't know a ton about boxing compared to MMA, obviously, but I am interested in these fights, Cole. Like, these guys are knocking each other out, and they're looking pretty good. So it's fun to watch. As a casual boxing fan, I'm actually interested in these fights.
I have the weights here now. So
yeah,
Ruiz was 283 in June. He weighed 268. Joshua was 237, in which the lightest he's been in 5 years. And in June, he weighed 247. So he lost 10 pounds, and Ruiz gained 15.
We'll see. I mean, it's going to be power over speed, it looks like. I know Ruiz is actually a pretty quick dude for his weight, but yeah, we'll see what happens there. It's definitely an interesting fight. I think that tomorrow night, or is it during the day?
4 p.m. they're expected to fight.
Well, it's Saudi Arabia, right? So that's going to be interesting. Obviously, a lot of us will be tuning in for that one. And then we have UFC Washington DC. What time is that course start? You should know this, Cole. Or actually, I guess you won't have to know this one. doing the live scoring for that one, eh, Cole?
I think it's 6 o'clock. Schedule. Or 5:45, but they usually do the 15 minutes of talking. So
yeah, it's five. Yeah, well, yeah. So 5:45, you got Trevor Smith and Muradov stepping the cage. So we can watch the boxing match and UFC. I'm just gonna see if you missed anything, Cole. Anything else you
want? I just want one other thing from Dana White's interview. He said for McGregor Khabib two to happen, two things need to happen. Connor needs to beat Cerrone. Khabib needs to beat Tony. What do you think that means about Gaethje? Like, does he not really think Gaethje should get a title shot then?
Bro, I don't even know what's going on with Justin Gaethje. Like, this guy is so good. I'm probably his biggest fan. I love the guy, but man, it's crazy, right? Like, he's kind of being lost in the shuffle now. He's kind of like Nagano for some reason. It's like, these guys are so good that no one wants to fight them, and they only really should be in title shots, but they can't get them because other guys are in the way. Just in a bad situation right now. At this point, I think Cole, he needs to take another fight. I mean, I think that he's going to be weighing around probably for a little bit here. The Tony fight's not till April. Why not just do Poirier and Gaethje 2 as the co-main event for that card?
Yeah, you could do that. Even if, like, maybe you do, if, say, so Tony, Khabib's in April, then they're probably not going to fight till Khabib's, say Khabib wins or Tony wins. The winner, that's probably not going to fight until September, October, I'd say. So then Gaethje, that'll be over. Like, that'll be like 15 months since his last, or like 13, 14 months since his last fight. Even if you do, like, you wait for the winner, Felder Hooker, and you fight that, and because they're fighting in February, you make the turnaround. Or, like, I'd rather see Gaethje Poirier too. It helps lightweight division. If Gaethje gets past Poirier, then he's clear cut, deserves the winner of Tony Khabib.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the rankings. I hate the rankings, but it's like Khabib's the champ, obviously. You got Ferguson number one. He's fighting for the belt. And number two is Poirier. Number three and five are Connor and Cerrone. They're at welterweight now. And then number four is Gaethje. So it just makes sense for 2 versus 4. That's the fight that makes sense. First fight was great. I know that Gaethje thinks that Poirier doesn't deserve a rematch right now because he's on a losing skid, or he had one loss, I guess. But he did lose to him. So to me, it's like, if you want to prove that you are a title contender, you should have to get by him again. So to me, that's a fight that makes sense. But we'll see what happens. Anything else you want to talk about, Cole? Anything else we missed you want to mention? Well,
just quickly, though, weigh-ins are going on, and Cynthia Calvillo missed by 4.5 pounds.
You're joking. Are you serious? 320. And this is your second weight miss, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think, yes, you missed weight, I think, two fights ago.
Oh, my gosh. 4.5? She's not even trying at that point, like, really. And she was talking so much smack before this fight, too, eh? Yeah. I like Cynthia. I mean, listen, she's good for the sport. Like, she talks a lot of crap and stuff. I love that, but Cole, she just missed weight against Botello two fights ago, and now she missed weight again, really? So, obviously, I think 125 looks to be in her future, and it's a tough fight tomorrow anyways into Rodriguez. I think that's anything else, Cole? Anything else?
No, I think that's everything now.
Okay, so good show today. Cole, appreciate you jumping on short notice, man. I want to get your thoughts on the Zombie and Edgar. Plug away your stuff, my man.
Twitter at ColeShell91. Yesterday, I did the fighter picks for Rozenstruik over him. Today, I'll have Kunitskaya on Thiago Santos and his recovery, and them wanting John Jones right away. Yeah, everything else just on my Twitter.
You guys can follow me on my Twitter at MMAdamMartin podcast, and it's MMAoddsBreaker.com. It's on YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, iTunes, Google Podcasts, everywhere. Also, check me out at BJPen.com and MMARings.net. I have an article there, or MMARings.net, on Jairzinho Rozenstruik and why I think this guy could be a serious real star for the UFC. They're looking for heavyweights, 31 years old, Cole. The guy is a devastating striker. And you know what, Cole? He's actually got, like, really good English, too. He's good in interviews, man. So that's a nice pleasant surprise. A lot of obviously fighters from Brazil don't, or not Brazil, but South America in general, they don't speak English very well. This guy's got really good English, and he's out there calling for Nagano. I love that about him, so I think he can be a big star. That's it for today's show, though, guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the podcast and for watching all week. I'll be back on Monday recapping UFC Washington, D.C., and then Cole will join me on Tuesday to break down UFC 245. Can't wait to talk about that card with you, Cole. All right, guys, have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday recapping what happened during the weekend. Have a good one. Bye.